In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
Truly.
The Gospel today from John chapter 4 is a rather lengthy Gospel passage, as we just heard. Involves a lot of information and detail about this conversation that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman. Things about the relationships between Jews and Samaritans during this time. Details about how they were expected to behave socially toward one another would require an intense Bible study to go through. It's a wonderful gospel passage, and we get it today on the fourth Sunday of Pascha. I encourage you, if you haven't done this lately, go home and reread it, especially if you have a study Bible, and take a look at the notes. They're very informative about what's actually going on. There's a lot of things going on and a lot of detail that require our attention, the first part of John chapter 4. But for our liturgy today, at least two things can come out. Spirit and truth. This is what God seeks, Jesus says. Those who worship God must worship in this manner and with this heart, in spirit and in truth. Now, we don't, in our understanding, think of those as two separate things, definitely not things that are opposed to one another. Spirit and in truth are descriptions of what we have received, and they are how we have received them. This comes out in the discussion after the woman asks Jesus a question, and it was a question that was important to her at the time. We, the Samaritans, worship on this mountain. You Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where you worship. She wanted to know what's the answer, because she figured out Jesus was the coming Messiah. He would know, he would tell her, he would settle it. And Jesus doesn't talk about location, we notice. He talks about spirit and in truth. This is what God seeks. This is how we must approach God. And this is the attitude and the method and the means of doing it, in spirit and in truth. So what does spirit and truth mean? We might ask that question. We're Orthodox. You know, we should be especially interested in this idea of spirit and in truth. Because if you think about it, we are the only... We don't talk about brands of Christianity or denominations. We understand one church, one true faith. But just for the sake of argument or explanation, you know, if you pick up a phone directory in a city and you go through, you're going to see a list of all kinds of different brands of Christians, different denominations of churches. We are the only ones out of all of them who identify ourselves with the words true worshippers. So we are committed to orthodox. That's what that means. The true worship. We are committed to that. So we should be very interested in Jesus' words today. Worshipping in spirit and in truth. This is the word of God that was given to us by the apostles, handed down and taught and preserved in truth and guaranteed to be truth through the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples before he was about to leave them that he wouldn't leave them orphaned. He would send them another. He would send them a comforter, a counselor, the Spirit of truth, who will guide you, he told them, into all truth. So the Holy Spirit guides the church as the living God. The Holy Spirit guides the church in the knowledge of God, and in an ongoing relationship with the living God. The truth and the Spirit work together. They are one. And we believe we've received this in the worship of the church. It's in what we do. It's in the words we hear, how we respond to them, how we teach them, how we gather together as one body in Jesus Christ, receive His life-giving body and blood in the sacraments. how we understand this given to us is through the authority of the church. St. Cyril is the one who said very early on that where the bishop is, there is the church. The bishop had to be present. He had to be in authority in order for there to be a church. Because there could be many gatherings of people who think they're gathering in the name of Jesus Christ as the people of God, teaching the truth and understanding it. But they could be in error. And we've seen lots of errors throughout history for the last 2,000 years. Lots of wanderings, lots of separation. But we believe in truth, and we believe in spirit, and we affirm this in our worship as Orthodox Christians. So we might want to ask then, the second thing that could come out of the gospel is the woman herself, the Samaritan woman, and how she responds to this encounter with Jesus. This kind of enlightens what we believe about, or maybe we could say, what do we do? So if we believe in worship in spirit and truth, what do we do with that? How do we fulfill it? How do we make it real? The woman is called by the church Saint Photini. Our church tradition gives her a name, and we talk about her history. After this encounter, she became a believer. She enlightened many people, and Photini means the enlightened one. So being baptized, she went out and did more of what we hear in the gospel today. She went and told people, this is the Christ, follow him. And eventually she was persecuted for that. In fact, if you read this back page of your bulletin today, it gives a little bit of that story. She was martyred during some intense persecutions and actually thrown down a well, which is interesting considering that she met Jesus at a well and that conversation they had about wells and living water. But the thing I love about this, about what she does here, this part where after Jesus explains to her that I am the one, I am he, I am that Messiah who is to come, I am. She leaves her water jar, it says. She leaves her water jar and goes away into the city and tells the people, come and see this Jesus. Why would she want a water jar anymore? Jesus just told her about the water that he will give her, that if you drink, you will never thirst again, the living water of life. Why would she want to go back to that well and draw water to drink if it's not going to quench her thirst? So right there is a sign of her response to what Jesus is teaching her. She became a disciple. She went out. She taught the Samaritans. This, brothers and sisters in Christ, is all of our calling, no matter how we do it. You know, if we are Orthodox, if we have the true faith, if we believe this is the right worship, what do we do with it? You know, other than coming and participating, that's very important, and being one body of Christ and living it every day. We go out into the world and we teach others. We let our light shine to them. The light we have received, we share it so that other people might come to it. You know, that's a calling for all of us. And it might differ on how we do it. You know, we may not do it with words. We're called to be preachers of the gospel at all times, not just through words. In fact, very probably a minority of time we're doing it by actually speaking the words, but rather through our actions, through the way we conduct ourselves in other people's company. The way we express our faith in a world that is resistant to it, that is hostile to it, that make laws that go against our faith. How do we uphold that as a Christian? With love and in truth. So we always want to be conscious of the fact that, you know, if we're Christians, if we're true worshipers, it really, really matters what we say around other people. how we conduct our lives. You know, what we teach through our actions. And especially today, we'll make mention of teaching because that's a big part of where we are. Our Sunday school programs are coming to an end for the regular Sunday school classes. And during our oblation today, we remember and pray for all the participants in Sunday school and all the graduates, those who are graduating in their schools from college, from high school, and the ones in the Sunday school that are graduating too. Because if we've completed one level of formation, we are graduating on to the next level. So that's a blessing right there. How important is our education in the life of our families? You know, do we teach our children at home how to continue to pray? Do we talk about the Gospels with them? Outside of church, I mean. Do we teach them about the feasts and the fasts? Do we live them at home? This should be our calling as well if we want to raise up people who are dedicated to the life of the church. Not just people who somehow identify with it. You know, in the gospel today it says that, well, there was this discussion about Jerusalem or Samaria. You know, location, geography, who our people are, our ancestors. We have to get beyond that in our understanding of Christianity, in our understanding of our identity as people of God. We have to understand that it means living a real faith in God, an ongoing relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, in the church, in the sacramental life. It's more than who our ancestors were. We have no reason to be particularly proud when we hear in the epistle today that the disciples were first called Christians in the city of Antioch. We have no reason to be proud because it means nothing to our credit. You know, we should glorify God and be thankful that since that time, the true faith has been taught and preached and down to this very day, and that a gathering of Christians in Antioch, our mother church, still exists. That's what we should be thankful for and praise God. No pride involved in that, though. We don't believe Antioch is any holier than Russia or Greece or the United States of America or Jerusalem, for that matter. You know, our true home is in heaven, and our true faith is what we live every day in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and His church. If our faith is true, if it is in spirit and in truth, as Jesus says today it must be, then we must put that worship and that faith above all other associations in our life, all other identities, you know. However we identify ourselves, however we present ourselves, our identity as a Christian, as a true believer, as an Orthodox must come first and foremost. That's the lesson we get today from the Gospel of the Samaritan Woman. And to take it one step further, after we live that, or while we're living that faith, we go out into the world and we become a light to those around us. We must have light in ourselves first, otherwise we're just stumbling around in the darkness. Like Fotini, the wonderful saint that our church teaches, did just that in the city of Samaria, and turned on many people to Jesus Christ and introduced them to the gospel. They believed because of her testimony, and then others in Galilee, it says, believed because they came and saw what Jesus is doing. It had this effect of just multiplying the faith. So may God protect us, may He inspire us, may He allow us to be a light to others, and through the prayers of Saint Fotini and all the saints, may God have mercy on us and save us. Christ is risen. Amen.